always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator. Joined on this fine, what is it, Harrison, Wednesday. By Harrison. And today's show, and from basically here on out, the Lakers Lounge is going to be presented by Prize Picks. More on them, obviously, as we get deeper and deeper into this relationship here. But shouts to Prize Picks for their support. Shouts to you guys for your guys' support that allow these kinds of partnerships to take place. And I can't wait to kind of dive into what this working relationship is going to look like over the next year or so. But yeah, Harrison of SB Nation, you are here. You have been, as you said before we went live, offline. So you've missed a lot of the hashtag discourse about Luka. And I'm legitimately jealous that that is the case. How you doing?
I have not been entirely offline. I've just been in meetings all morning. So like every time I've opened up Twitter or Blue Sky or whatever, I mean, mostly Twitter, it's been Luka MVP discourse with like some wild takes and like some takes that I'm like, congrats to you. I didn't even know that was possible. But then I haven't dug further into it, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny. I was literally texting with Matt earlier today, you know, cause he was like, you can't honestly be this worked up about MVP, can you? And I'm like, I'm not really that worked up about like MVP per se. Like, I think there are four players who can win, right? Five, if you include Katie's mom, but like four people who have viable cases by the
I'm sorry, that went straight over my head for a second. I apologize for not laughing.
I was like, damn, I thought that was a good one. I didn't get any
reaction. That was not bad. That was
but like, I think there are four players, right? I think you have Shea, Wemby, Luka, and Jokic. If it goes to any of those four guys, I think we probably just about got it right. I think it's an all-time great MVP race with some players who are going to go down as some of the best who have ever played. And so long as it goes to one of those guys, then we're cool. And I'm like 99% sure it's going to go to one of those guys. It's when, you know, there are arguments that are made that try to keep any one of those guys out of that discussion is when it becomes disingenuous. And I think that's where people are kind of getting themselves into issues. And I wasn't really that worked up about the MVP thing until recently when Pete pointed out how infrequently the Lakers factor into these conversations or like, you know, where they wind up in these voting totals. And I was like, damn it, now I care. I literally texted him yesterday. I was like, you monster, you've made me care about this shit.
Anthony, in fairness to Pete, it doesn't take it much to get you worked up.
It's true.
But
it's
like, true. You know, you just have to be made aware of an injustice somewhere. and like you're ready to go.
I'm like, hold on, what?
Like especially
only the Wizards,
especially like an ultimately meaningless injustice. You know, it's like it's like NBA. You're like, you know, it's like the world is where it is. But it's like, you know, I love that you are focused on whether or not voters are properly crediting Lakers in the various awards races over the last 15 years.
Look, if I devoted more time and energy to the things that actually matter, I would go fucking insane.
So, yeah, no. I understand. We're here. You know, look, we're here to talk about basketball. I get it. Like, you know, it is. I wanted to be clear that I about what specific things get you really worked up.
Yeah. All right. So today on the show, though, we're going to be talking about those end of season awards and the debates therein. I want to talk about Luka specifically and the MVP case that he can still make as he continues to make it. ESPN dropped an article about LeBron's future and six of the team or the six teams that they see as possible landing spots for LeBron after the season. Yeah. And the Clippers and the Nuggets. I feel like an editor was like, we need six.
Yeah, I sort of just laughed at the Clippers thing. I'm like, there's just no way. Like, he has too much care for legacy to, like, be like, I'm going to, like, literally the only reason to do that is if you want your Jordan Wizards photoshops, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, same for, like, the like, Nuggets and the Mavericks once upon a time as a team. Even the Warriors.
The Mavericks I don't think are realistic anymore. I think, like, when they were assembling the former 2020 Lakers squad, like, maybe. And then, like, the Nuggets is just, like, kind of, like, the Nuggets is like, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would be fascinated to, like, watch him play off of Jokic. Especially this version of LeBron that we've seen. That would be pretty crazy.
Well, this version of LeBron fits everywhere.
But, like, what if Bruce Brown was a foot taller?
He's Aaron Gordon.
And could shoot. And was, like, a top 10 NBA athlete still at 41.
Yeah. So we'll talk about LeBron's future. I also want to chuckle a little bit at Rob Pelinka showing his face now that the Lakers went 15-2 in the month of March. That dude is just, look, he is so committed to the bit that I applaud you, Robbie Deals.
I've really grown to, it's easy to appreciate in the good times, much like Rob Pelinka. It is an incredible bit that he has going of just like, you know, it's like, okay, like Rob is nowhere to be seen first half of the season, but then it's like Luka's in the MVP talks, you know, Lakers are 15-2, whatever. It's like they do like a fun social video about like, you know, who are your Oscars picks? And then it's like Luka, you know, it's Austin, like saying he hasn't seen any of the movies. And then Rob shows up and it's like, wait, what? Why is he like, why is Rob Pelinka in this all of a sudden? Like,
why is there a polar bear in Texas?
Yeah, why is Rob doing the TikTok dance with the team? I don't.
I can't wait for the reports that like Rob Pelinka is learning golf so that he can be in those pictures next to Luka that the Lakers are taking from the team.
You zoom in on the background of the golf shot and like Rob's there like what? Picking his ball out of the like. Actually, I bet Rob's probably a pretty good golfer. Like he looks like he is like outside a fair bit, and like you know for guys of his profession and age, like I'm guessing some of that is golf.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be helping me much. So we'll go ahead and we have a lot to cover, obviously, over the course of the show. If you guys have any questions or comments, we will try to get to as many of those as we can towards the tail end of the show. A quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that share button. Turn on notifications, not just for the show, but also for YouTube so that you can get those show notifications. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but they all count the same to me. And apparently we're supposed to start caring about Spotify. So that's also good.
Supposed to. I always have. I'm here for the real Spotify heads.
Yeah, me too. They treat artists super duper well. So let's start. I just got knocked down like 73 spots in Spotify.
Yeah, no, we're Spotify. Sorry, Spotify's not carrying this podcast anymore.
No. All right. So let's start though with that the debates as we see them to be. And here's where I kind of struggle, Harrison. And it's a version of your Yelp theory in that the dumbest arguments I see like the most of not that I see like there, it's not that there are a whole bunch of really dumb Luka arguments. It's that the really, really dumb ones keep showing up on my timeline. And the people who have those really, really dumb ones keep showing up on my timeline. And they're all from the Boston, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, New York area. But yeah,
I didn't realize that.
No, he's the one guy. Like, I know Lakers fans disagree with Matt a ton, and trust me, Matt and I have been texting all day. Well, also, today, every so I disagree with them plenty too.
Like, you know,
but like I at least know that Matt is putting enough thought and effort into the takes that it's like, okay, I can kind of see where you arrive at that thought.
He also does like when I see Chris Mannix making this relatively equally. Like, you know, it's just like, it'll be like a random Tuesday morning and he's like in a blood feud with the entire Miami area. And it's like, okay, wait, why? Like, remember his commitment back to it when, is honestly like staggering.
Remember when, in the early days of Twitter where it would be like, you are trending in this city. Like, remember getting those notifications?
Oh yeah. I got a couple of those about Boston a few years back.
You were the Lakers blogger if you didn't get a few of those. Yeah, I just remember like Jen would look over at my phone in the morning and she'd be like, Fred, why are you trending in Milwaukee?
I don't actually remember what specifically I tweeted. And I think it's been purged. I don't think it's around, but I said something to someone in the Boston area that resulted in me trending in Boston because people were sending me electoral college maps to show that no, actually Boston went for Hillary.
That's such an insane combination of words. But yeah, like, do you get what I'm saying though? Like, as far as like the Yelp theory, as far as these takes go, that like the more annoying they are and the more annoying the person making those points, the more frequently you see them. You know, because everybody is dunking on them. Like, everybody has had to quote tweet that Rachel Nichols clip where she's arguing on behalf of defense, even though she argued a few years ago for James Harden to win MVP. Or like basically Chris Mannix saying hi to anybody on the street is, you know, trending on my timeline, because anytime he says hi to anybody on the street, he's like, hi, Jaylen Brown. Hi, Jaylen Brown. You know, and so it's like, I don't want to get too carried away with like the dumbest arguments here, but I do think that we are watching another version of the Lakers lightning rod theory, where if you take a already polarizing player and put him on the Lakers, it leads to some just insanity online and in the takeosphere. So like, from your vantage point, what do you make of how far people are willing to go to try to discount Luka's chances of making, you know, being a finalist for MVP or making a first team all NBA team? Like, how have you taken all this in?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's honestly, it feels like this is getting worse almost every single year. Last year sort of being an exception. I think it was like pretty unanimous that like Shea, it was going to be Shea. Like, I don't think anybody was really arguing a whole lot to the contrary or really for anyone else. But like the couple years before that, it was the, you know, Jokic versus Embiid blood wars. And then we had, you know, is Russell Westbrook a loser, you know, while winning MVP? And actually it should be James Harden or Kawhi. And no, actually it can't be those guys because they didn't save the city of Oklahoma City from, I guess, like just like sinking when KD left. And, you know, it's just like, it feels like it gets more personal and more, honestly, not to keep going back to politics, but like, it feels like it gets more like politics every single year, where it's like, it's no longer good enough to argue for your guy. Like, you have to argue why everyone else sucks. It's not like I think Shea is the MVP. It's, I think Luka is a clown fraud loser who's putting up Mickey Mouse March numbers and shouldn't get credit for that. You know, and it's like, wait, okay, but wait, who are you voting for? You know? And I think like it's just gotten so polarized. And I think social media has affected this. And like, I think that like, you know, I think honestly, voters' ballots being public has affected this, because like, they're already, you know, for them, it's like, if you're voting for MVP, you're like, I want to make my case early so that, you know, like, nobody's yelling at me in several months. Like, when it's like, oh, wait, you voted for Jokic for MVP? Like, you know, I can't believe, like, when the ballots all come out and it's like, I can't believe this guy voted for this guy. And yeah. So it's like, I got to make my case all year. We have to argue about this all year so that I can, like, so that nobody's going to roast me on Twitter when the ballots come out. And like, I didn't pick, like, quote unquote, the right guy. I have to make my case constantly and argue about this. And frankly, like, you know, in March, or I guess now we're in April, but like in this time of year in the NBA, it is one of the only things to talk about that people, like, that fans are actually going to engage with, because everybody, yeah. it's like when the Oscars come around, or, you know, whatever your favorite award show is, the Grammys, and it's like all the stands have to make their arguments for, like, oh, well my artist streamed all this amount of things, and that means they should win. And, you know, I just think that it's just like, all, you know, everybody just feels like they have to argue against their opponent all the time, rather than making the positive case for their person.
Yeah, it's one of my pet peeves in internet lingo, is that people no longer just make their point. They have to be proving somebody wrong in making it, you know? And it's like, it's how you arrive at that meme where it's like, you know, they told me that Steph Curry couldn't shoot. It's like, no, nobody ever said that. You know, like, you know, like, nobody is saying that. Nobody is
sensibly. The latest medical update from the Warriors, PR staff was Steph Curry cannot shoot.
Well, according to their ownership group, yeah. I don't think that they believe that he still can shoot enough. Nobody is sensibly arguing against Shea. Nobody is sensibly arguing against Luka. Nobody is sensibly arguing against Wemby or against Jokic. Like,
or four, there are just then.
Four. There are four great cases that are being made right now, and somebody is going to win. Some three of those guys are going to lose, unless we have like co-MVPs or something like that.
Please no. Like, it would be the most Adam Silver thing of all time if he named all four of them MVP.
He's
preempting the vote.
Actually, yeah, the Kyle Korver Atlanta Hawks, they are the MVP.
Yeah, decision. They each get a piece of the MVP trophy. I'm going to saw it up.
Yeah. But yeah, also, I did love, like, how much he hemmed and hawed about Adam Silver, that is. Like, tanking is terrible. I'm going to fix it. It ends now. And then all of his proposals were so clearly terrible that it will not at all impact tanking moving forward. Like, man, go pick up golf. But yeah, like, I think
Adam Silver does not look like a guy who golfs very often.
No, that head.
Adam Silver is not outside golfing. You know, neither am I, to be fair, but
he needs to be.
Yeah. You know,
I would not recommend you golf because you have a bad back. And that is not.
No, Adam Silver, hit me up. We'll go golfing. We're going to fix the NBA. We're going to golf. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
You and me, top golf next week.
But yeah, like, I think with, like, just pictured that. Adam Silver is like
Adam Silver is
scrolling through the most complicated game that he can find. He's like, I just see Adam. We can just like hit the targets. No. We need to hit the targets at a certain number of a certain time at a certain angle. And that's how you get the certain number of points that we need to get and make this the Adam most Silver boring like version of Top Golf that we could possibly play.
He's going into the machine and like opening it up and rewiring it so that he can change the way the Angry Birds game is scored so that there are more winners. Right.
And somehow the Mavericks just got the best Angry Bird. Yeah. I think. I don't know. I can't get myself to be that worked up over MVP, because the caliber of basketball that all four of those guys are playing is just astronomical. Now, we're obviously biased because we watch more of Luka, just as Shea voters are going to be more biased about him, and, you know, so on and so forth, or the people who watch him specifically are going to feel a certain way about those guys. But like the one thing that I find myself really annoyed by is like the moving target, right? The moving target from year to year, and how those goalposts always seem to move away from the Lakers, where In a year where Kobe averaged 35 points per game and was a first-team All-NBA defensive presence, winning mattered above all else. And the jump in wins that the Phoenix Suns had by way of Nash showing up, that was the thing that mattered most. And then, you know, when LeBron and AD were marching towards a championship, it was a different set of goalposts and targets that they should have hit instead of the ones that they were actually hitting. I remember when Anthony Davis was, you know, I thought the best defensive player on planet Earth. All that mattered apparently at that time was defensive rating metrics and the difference between when Anthony Davis was on the court and when he wasn't on the court. And then now that Luka's rating is like pretty much fine, whether he's on the court, you know, when he's on the court, now it's like, no, the eye test matters a lot more to what kind of defense Luka is playing. And like just how subjective this is and how flawed this process is, it drives me nuts. And then when you look at like the numbers that Pete crunched for, you know, the voting totals and the voting finalist totals over the years, and how only the Washington Wizards have fewer, you know, final nominees than the Lakers over the last 15 years. It's just insane. It's insane. And what it comes down to is like I've been kind of trying to workshop this take, and I eventually think I'm going to write about it. But essentially where I land is the league is always relatively talented, right? There's always going to be spectacular performances on an individual and team basis that, like, you know, subjectively you could outline whatever parameters to highlight whichever performance you prefer to outline. And if you are at all biased going into any step of that process, either for or against somebody, because of how talented the league always is, relatively speaking, like there's always going to be an explanation as to why Laker X or Laker Y or Laker Z shouldn't have been nominated, shouldn't have won it. You know, argue against the guy who won it then, or dare you. And it's like, oh, okay, but there is a viable argument there. And it just so happens that when the vast majority of the voting base hails from the East Coast and grew up hating one particular franchise, those arguments sound a lot more sound and logical and reasonable why Laker X, Y, or Z shouldn't have won it. And it's like, if that's how we're going to do this, then fine. Like, Lakers fans should have stopped caring about MVP and end-of-year awards the moment Allen Iverson won it over Shaq. Like, as soon as that happened, we should have known we're good here.
Like, it is kind of crazy in retrospect for anyone to have been like seen like Shaq just like as a player and just been like
at his prime, Allen Iverson at his absolute peak. Yeah.
Like Allen Iverson was awesome that year. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Allen Iverson like dragged that Sixers team was horrible. And so like Allen Iverson, like absolutely a great player, but like, you know, to look at both of those guys and be like, I think Allen Iverson Shaq is better.
You know, and it's like, and look, like you just said, there are viable cases to be made for both of those guys, right? Just like watching
It's like Daredevil's a great superhero, but like if he fought the Hulk, he would lose, you know, like that sort of AI versus Shaq.
As we saw when Daredevil fought the Hulk in the NBA finals that year. And it's like, and by the way, you know, like, I don't know. I don't really think that, the Lakers, like, I hate it when people try to tell me, oh, so you're making the argument here that the Lakers are somehow victims within the NBA's universe. It's like, no, I've lived a very cush life being a Lakers fan. Like, we're doing just fine. But at the end of the day, though,
comparatively to a lot of other fan bases, we've had it pretty good.
Yeah, like, in terms of the things that actually matter, right? The banners that hang above the moneylaundering.com arena. Like, everybody is doing fine.
I'm going to get sued at some point. It's going to be so funny.
They have to prove that it isn't money laundering.